This morning early, the Lord spoke clearly these two words: I'm coming. The day of my return is at hand. Let my people know it's about to happen. What is about to occur will change world history. Nothing will remain the same. Let the unbelievers, let the skeptics, let the religious ones know that what they fear the most is about to happen. My warm season of grace and mercy will soon turn to a chilling winter of judgment and wrath.
Welcome you to this edition of Prophecy Quake. I'm your host tonight, Pastor Dean Odle, along with my co-hosts, Billy Painter and Kevin Wilkinson. Again, we welcome you to this September 9th edition, 2014. We're glad you're with us tonight. We're going to jump right in here. We've got a lot going on this evening, a lot going on in the world. We're going to talk a little bit about the beginning of sorrows that Jesus spoke of in Matthew 24. We have several sound clips tonight that I think you're going to find very interesting and informative. Then we're going to have our news in just a minute, and then we'll get into our subject. And really tonight, I didn't know what to call it, because we're going to talk about Islam a little bit. We may back up and cover some things that we missed last week due to our technical problems. If you're having difficulty hearing or things are breaking up, please let us know through the chat you can text us or Facebook message or something. Just let us know if you're having trouble hearing tonight. But again, we welcome you to this edition of Prophecy Quake. We're going to get into a little bit about Islam, a little bit about Russia, the Russian threats with their bombers now, not just on the West Coast, but now on the East Coast. Also other threats that are going on. And now, of course, we have a new disease, mystery virus out in the Midwest now that's affecting probably now about a dozen states that is affecting children, a respiratory problem. They don't know what it is. It's putting some kids in intensive care. It's a serious matter. Ebola is out of control. ISIS is threatening the United States. There's chatter of an attack on the United States, a terror attack. And then we're going to share tonight also some prophetic words, some prophetic dreams. The Holy Spirit has been speaking to his people and giving some warnings over the last several years. And I'm going to share one that God, a prophetic dream that the Lord gave my brother Alan Odle back last year, 2013 in February. We're going to share that. And I'm also going to share a word, really a vision God gave me in our prayer meeting last Wednesday night that I think is the Lord is really, really beginning to clarify to his people through different prophetic voices that America is soon to face some serious, serious attacks. And of course, now the chatter, we're hearing it from not just prophets and people who believe that we are in the last days, but we're beginning to hear it now from CIA, ex-CIA analyst. We're beginning to hear it from generals and former generals. We're beginning to hear the warnings coming forth that the United States is in big trouble. So I want you to stay with us. We're going to take a quick break. I'm going to be brief here in my introduction this evening as we're going to talk about the beginning of sorrows. Let me just read this. So we'll set this up before we get there, but we're going to do the news, and then we'll do our sound clip, our first clip for you this evening. But speaking about the beginning of sorrows, this is what that is. Jesus said this. This is in Matthew chapter 24. We'll read this. This is verse 3. We'll start there. And as he, Jesus, sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, "Tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the age, or the end of the world?" And Jesus answered and said unto them, "Take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in divers places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Now, this word beginning of sorrows means the beginning of birth pains or the beginning of travail. These are the beginning signs that Jesus warned would lead us into the Great Tribulation or the final 7 years before his return, the rise of the Antichrist, the rise of the Mark of the Beast, the great persecution and affliction and slaughter, martyrdom of Christians and the attacks upon Israel, and all of the things in the last days. But he said there would be a beginning of sorrows, and they would contain wars and rumors of wars. They would contain pestilences, which are plagues, diseases, and they would contain an increase in mega earthquakes or large earthquakes all over the world. Every single one of these things we have seen happen in dramatic fashion, in unprecedented ways in 2014. 2014, really to me, and I believe the Lord spoke this to me several weeks ago, that 2014 has begun officially what Jesus was saying here in Matthew 24, the beginning of sorrows. There's not a time frame on how long they last. There's not a time frame on, I can't tell you when we enter the tribulation period just yet. I'm not trying to predict anything. I'm just telling you, if we look at what Jesus said, we look at the signs spoken of as the beginning of the travail, the birth pains that are coming on the world to bring about the great tribulation, we are definitely seeing them. And what's amazing is you'll hear in just a moment after we go through, after we take our break and do the news, you're going to hear in just a moment what I call the talking heads, even from the major networks, NBC, ABC, CBS. We're going to just play a montage of the talking heads talking about what's going on in 2014, how it looks like our world is coming unraveled and descending into chaos in an unusual fashion. So if the world can recognize it, then we Christians ought to recognize it and get prepared. Also, we need to be prepared that we're going to be here through it all. We may have even talked about that tonight. I think one of the most dangerous doctrines for this last generation is the pre-tribulation rapture doctrine or theology. If you believe that, I still love you. Hope you still love me. But the bottom line is I think many people are going to be disillusioned, discouraged. We may even talk about that in greater detail. But I'm just troubled because we're heading into a time where we're going to face great persecution. The very next thing Jesus said after he talked about all these are the beginning of sorrows in Matthew chapter 24 in verse 8, he said, "Then after this shall they deliver you up to be afflicted and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake." So right there, he's letting us know that this also that would mark this time is an increase, a dramatic increase in persecution, being hated and killed for our faith. And we see this already beginning in the Middle East and increasing across the world, and it's going to increase dramatically in the days ahead. And you as a Christian don't need to be deceived by any man that you're not going to be here to face what is coming. You need to prepare yourself to face it, to stand strong, to stand for Jesus, to stand for the Word of God, to stand for the truth, to be a light in the face of being hated, in the face of persecution, and yes, even in the face of death. So we're going to take a quick break. You're listening to Prophecy Quake. We'll be back in just a moment with the news and some other issues here. God bless.
Bible prophecy, world news, and the supernatural power of Jesus Christ. You're listening to Prophecy Quake on Blog Talk Radio.
Time for Prophecy Quake, Prophecy in the News with Pastor Billy Painter.
Good evening. These are the headlines for September 9th, 2014. Mystery virus EVD68 is exploding among vaccinated children. U.S. medical system is clueless without a vaccine. The rapid explosion of the mystery virus EVD68 is sending hundreds of children to hospitals across Missouri, Colorado, Kansas, Utah, and eight other states. In Kansas City, about 475 children were recently treated at Children's Mercy Hospital. At least 60 of them received intensive hospitalization, has been reported by CNN. CNN goes on to report, it's worse in terms of scope of critically ill children who require intensive care. I would call it unprecedented. I've practiced for 30 years in pediatrics, and I've never seen anything quite like this, said Dr. Marianne Jackson, the hospital's division director for infectious diseases. What CNN and other media outlets are not reporting, however, is that this outbreak is occurring among vaccinated children. Cincinnati Hospital sets a patient record as the virus spreads in that area. Medical officials admitted a record number of children to a local hospital over the weekend because of what they believe to be a rare respiratory virus spreading throughout the country. Although there have been no confirmed cases of the enterovirus at Cincinnati's Children's Hospital, officials admitted 540 patients Friday, said Dr. Derek Wheeler, who is an associate chief of staff at the hospital. An Oxford study predicts that there are now 15 more countries at risk for severe Ebola exposure. Until this year's epidemic, Ebola did not exist in West Africa. Now, with nearly 2,300 people dead from the virus, mostly in Liberia, Guinea, and Sierra Leone, scientists still don't fully understand how Ebola arrived from Central Africa, where outbreaks of this strain of the virus has occurred in the past. A new model by Oxford University, published in the journal eLife, took a look at the most likely explanation. This is what they came up with. They said that Ebola's animal reservoir, fruit bats, could spread the disease in the animal kingdom and thusly then to humans through the dense forest that spans the 22 countries. According to the Oxford prediction, these countries are at risk of animal-to-human transmission of Ebola by virtue of their geography. These countries and nations include Nigeria, Cameroon, Central African Republic, Ghana, Liberia, Sierra Leone, Angola, Togo, the United Republic of Tanzania, Ethiopia, Mozambique, Burundi and Equatorial Guinea, Madagascar, and Malawi. Excuse me on that one. To date, the Ebola death toll has risen to 2,296 out of the 4,293 cases worldwide. That is a lot of people who have perished from this. ISIS is in the news once again, and they're now operating from Juarez, Mexico. Agents for Homeland Security and the Justice Defense Departments have warned of an imminent threat of a terror attack on the southern border of the United States. Intelligence officials have picked up a lot of chatter about terrorist groups planning to carry out an attack on the border, and they suspect that ISIS and other groups are already inside the U.S. One source stated, it's coming very soon. ISIS jihadists are now using captured arms and troop carriers from the U.S. and Saudi Arabia. The UN has stated that the Islamic State has killed hundreds of children this year, which is probably a low figure to the reality of it. But Islamist fighters in Iraq have killed hundreds of children, including in summary executions, and some they have even killed by using them as suicide bombers. Top UN envoy on children in armed conflict said Monday up to 700 children have been killed or maimed in Iraq since the beginning of the year. Iran's supreme leader has stated that we should prepare for the new world order. Iran's supreme leader, Ayatollah Ali Khamenei, warned that the new world order is emerging and that Iran will have a strong role in creating it. According to a Farsi language transcript of his remarks last week to the country's assembly of experts, Iran will lead this new world order, he says, that will replace American influence in the world. Russia in the news. Strategic bombers near Canada practice cruise missile strikes on the U.S. Two Russian strategic bombers conducted practice cruise missile attacks on the United States during a training mission last week that defense officials say appears timed at the same time that the NATO summit was taking place in Wales. The Russian Tu-95 Bear bombers were tracked flying a route across the northern Atlantic near Iceland, Greenland, and Canada's northeast. The practice of running these bombing runs are just the latest in a series of incidents involving threatening Russian bomber flights near the United States. Analysts say the bomber flights are nuclear saber-rattling by Moscow as a result of the heightened tensions over the crisis in the Ukraine. Russian military planes also have been circling a HMCS Toronto, which is a ship in the Black Sea. So the Russian Bear is on the move. A heavily financed and covert attack on all biblical teaching that deals with eschatology or Bible prophecy is now underway worldwide. Why, you may ask? Well, it's for the same very reason that totalitarian regimes like China has always targeted Bible prophecy, because the content of Bible prophecy is the greatest threat to the establishment of a world socialist state where man is God. The battle between good and evil is here, and the last days are now the days in which we are living. Disease, viruses spreading, ISIS moving near our borders, open borders that is, Russia getting quite froggy militarily, attacks on Christianity growing. These are some of the headlines for September 9th, 2014.
Called it hyper grace. The Lord had me call it grace abuse. Back in 1997, I wrote my first book entitled Grace Abuse, One of the Greatest Hindrances to Genuine Revival. This book is about the false doctrine of once saved, always saved, or unconditional eternal security. I believe this doctrine and the abuse of this subject of grace is one of the biggest issues in the church today. Get your copy of Grace Abuse, One of the Greatest Hindrances to Genuine Revival, today at deanodal.org. Grace is not a license to sin. We want to welcome you back. You're listening to Prophecy Quake. I'm your host, Pastor Dean Odal, and we're going to continue on this evening looking at, again, the beginning of sorrows in Matthew chapter 24. Pastor Billy Painter there with the news. I'm telling you, it reads just like we're reading from the prophecy Jesus gave here about the wars and the rumors of wars, about the pestilences breaking out. You know, in the beginning of the year, well, back in December, matter of fact, December 31st, New Year's Eve of 2013, I wasn't feeling real well that evening. My wife and daughter went over, actually, to Kevin's house, and they were cooking out, but I just didn't feel well at all, so I stayed home. But around, I know, getting close to midnight, I was just praying and seeking God, and the Lord spoke to me very, very clearly that evening. And he gave me this word. He told me the word for 2014 would be unprecedented. And then he just downloaded into my heart that there would be unprecedented events in warfare, in terrorism, in the environment. And he said really it would be across the board, religion, within the church, persecution. But he said also on the good side that there would be some real breakthroughs in the church. There would be some miracles. Some great, many would be coming to the Lord. There would even be some great signs and wonders, even people being raised from the dead and great healings beginning. And so I want you to know that I believe that we will see good come in this situation. But I remember that was on December 31st of 2014. I immediately posted that prophetic word the Holy Spirit gave me on Facebook. And, of course, then I began to type up what the Lord told me to put in a note in an article on our website. Almost within just days, I think it was, by January 2nd, we had what is now known as one of the coldest winters on record, if not the coldest. I think 49 records were broken in the next 2 weeks across the United States and Canada and northern Mexico. We had record lows across North America, and so it began immediately. And then, of course, in March, we saw the unprecedented move of Russia. I mean, in our time, we've seen after, you know, we're talking about post-Cold War, Russia beginning to move, taking over Crimea, and then threatening the Ukraine, and then, of course, we saw the rise and the just the blitzkrieg of ISIS across Syria and then Iraq that shocked almost everyone, even in the political scene, even in the military arena. There was great shock at how fast this group rose to power and was able to take land and cities and weapons and money from banks in the region and take over oil fields and things of that nature. And, of course, we have seen the unprecedented killing of Christians and the rise now of what the Bible foretold would be in the last days, Revelation chapter 20, that beheadings would be one of the means in which many Christians would die in the last days just prior to the return of Jesus. Now, who would have believed that in the 21st century, in this era of enlightenment and education and technology and modern man, civilized man, that we would be talking about beheadings on a mass scale? But we are talking about exactly what the Bible foretold 2,000 years ago would be happening in the last days. So there's no doubt in my mind that we are in the beginning of sorrows. But let's just take a listen here. This is a clip from, and it's a montage, really, of clips from The talking heads, MSNBC, NBC, CBS, ABC, you're going to hear different news anchors. You may recognize their voices, but you're going to hear them talk about, and these are news clips really since, just since Labor Day. So we're talking about just, you know, a couple of weeks ago at the most here. And you're going to hear them basically describing to you that we are in an unprecedented season that we've entered into, that 2014 is mind-boggling. We're watching our world come unraveled and descend into chaos, which is exactly what Jesus said would be the beginning of sorrow. So here is the clip. It's a little longer than our normal clips, but I felt it very important for you to hear it, not just from Prophecy Quake and Pastor Dean here. I want you to hear it from the mainstream news media themselves. Take a listen to this.
As the last days of summer wore down, wherever Americans gathered over this past holiday weekend, on beaches, on boats, blankets, front porches, if and when the conversation turned serious, it was about the sensation right about now that our world is falling apart.
Civil unrest in Pakistan. Riot police fire rubber bullets and tear gas at demonstrators in Islamabad, injuring dozens.
Terrifying video out of Libya this morning. A fighter jet slammed into a busy neighborhood yesterday in Tobruk near the Egyptian border. Three people died, another nine were hurt.
Amateur video shows alleged Russian battle tanks moving into southern Ukraine. In the last 24 hours, up to 1,000 Russian troops with heavy weapons moved into the area, according to U.S. military intelligence. Russia also moving in with armored vehicles and multiple rocket launchers. The Polish foreign minister calls it the most serious security crisis in Europe in decades.
And we turn overseas now to that stunning video out of Libya tonight. 3 years after Americans helped take down Muammar Gaddafi, the country is in chaos.
Empty ever since American diplomats evacuated at the end of July, as Libya descended even farther into chaos. Libya is now on the brink of becoming a failed state, with militant groups fighting each other for control as the government looks on helpless.
Syria's civil war continues to spill over towards Israeli-held territory, with reports of President Assad's jets shelling rebel positions close to the occupied Golan Heights.
It is not just American citizens fighting alongside ISIS. British citizens are doing the same.
Hundreds of young men who have left the UK to join the brutal terrorist group ISIS. They see themselves as defenders of Islam in a war against non-believers. Their barbaric tactics have been glamorized on social media, a powerful recruitment tool that British authorities are now trying to crack down on. With every victory on the battlefield, ISIS's appeal grows, and many are concerned that it is only a matter of time before their jihad spreads beyond the Middle East.
This is a message to Canada and all the American Tawaghi. We are coming, and we will destroy you. We are going for you, Barack Obama!
Ukraine and Russia. Civil war in Syria. The threat of a brutal so-called caliphate across the Middle East. It seems like the world we're living in is slipping out of control.
The Ebola epidemic is spiraling upward. That's what the director of the Centers for Disease Control will tell Washington tomorrow.
It is the world's first Ebola epidemic, and it's spiraling out of control. It's bad now. It's going to get worse in the very near future. There is still a window of opportunity to tamp it down, but that window is closing. We really have to act now.
Health alert, more than 1,000 children sickened by a rare virus that starts off like the common cold, but sends some kids rushing to the hospital when they can't breathe. Here's that map of the 10 states hit so far by this mystery illness. Doctors say there will be more.
A potentially deadly mystery virus is spreading across the country.
Ebola outbreak that can't seem to be contained. Today, world health officials said
that the outbreak in West Africa is racing ahead of efforts to control it. The number of people infected with Ebola keeps growing.
In the capital, chaos and panic is leading to desperate measures. Unable to control Ebola's spread, last week, the government quarantined an entire slum, home to 75,000 people. As the quarantine order sparked violent riots, residents were unable to leave. For the past 5 months, Ebola has ravaged Western Africa. 1,400 have been reported dead, 2,600 infected. The outbreak has struck several countries, the worst of it here in Liberia.
The worst outbreak in history has killed more than 1,500 people and infected thousands more across four countries.
This is incredible. You know, seeing a truck cart away 10 bodies of people who died from Ebola, I can't imagine what someone is thinking who has arrived there for treatment. You know, it's the gates of hell.
What we have to be very careful about, Neil, is that, and we must understand, is that ISIS is desperately trying to get the United States involved in a war that is advantageous to them. And the reason they want that is because there is an Al-Hama. Al-Hama means Armageddon, the end game, and many end times. ISIS, if not most, believe that that end times is coming between 2016 and 2020.
This is beyond anything that we've seen, so we must prepare for everything.
This is an organization that has an apocalyptic end of days strategic vision, and which will eventually have to be defeated.
ISIS is everywhere, according to the federal government, right? I mean, we're worried about them coming over to the United States. Texas is suggesting that ISIS can come through Mexico. And actually, there's a couple of folks who are worried about whether or not ISIS will attack the electric grid, claiming that they may team up with drug lords down in Mexico. Can you just imagine what would happen if they blew up the East Coast grid?
And I don't want you to Sharia law, and neither does anybody in Great Britain.
Well,
that has
you will have no choice if I show it. It's coming to a place near you. It's coming to a place near you.
So you're threatening to come and get me, is that what you're saying?
I'm saying that the Sharia will be implemented in the whole world.
Sharia
is the promise of the Messenger.
That's what you want.
Muhammad,
you want that, thank you. You've answered my question. You want a worldwide Islamic caliphate.
Of course we do.
You want a worldwide Islamic caliphate.
One of Oklahoma's senators says the rise of ISIS and other violent terrorist groups is putting our country in a dangerous position. Fox 25's Phil Cross sat down with Senator Jim Inhofe, who says the public needs to know how real the threat is for a new attack on American soil.
We're in the most dangerous position we've ever been in as a nation.
Senator Jim Inhofe serves as the ranking Republican on the Senate Armed Services Committee and says our country has never been in such a risky position, especially from new terror groups like ISIS.
They're crazy out there, and they are rapidly developing a method of blowing up a major U.S. city, and people just can't believe that's happening. But yes, it's really significant what's happening.
These ISIS terrorists are the evil of all evil. Am I right?
Oh, they are the Antichrist of terrorist organizations.
They should know we will follow them to the gates of hell until they are brought to justice, because hell is where they will reside.
What is the thing that concerns you most about what you see in the world at the moment?
Well, I think it's the dangerous unpredictability of a world that is, I think, trying to define a new world order. We've never seen such diffusion of economic power. More people have more say, as it should be. We are seeing a new world order being built in the early 21st century. The United States of America has some responsibility to help lead that. We can't dictate that order. Nor can any country, but we can help shape it.
The leader of Iran's Islamic Revolution, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei, has praised the Palestinian resistance movements for standing strong against the Israeli military during the recent 50-day war on Gaza. Ayatollah Khamenei added that Iran's Islamic Revolution was the most important element that changed the challenge, the world order. The leader said the world is today witnessing a new order. The leader also noted that Iran should become more powerful to play an effective role in the world's new order.
President Obama made it clear today the U.S. goal with the Sunni terrorist group known as ISIS is not to contain it, but to destroy it. He said so at the NATO summit in Wales. The president did not reveal a new strategy, but he did say that a coalition of 10 nations has agreed to take on ISIS militarily and financially.
There was unanimity over the last 2 days that ISIL poses a significant threat to NATO members.
10 countries, including the U.S., U.K., France, Australia, and Turkey, will work to degrade ISIS with military force, political pressure, and by squeezing its finances.
President Obama wrapped up a two-day NATO summit yesterday with a news conference.
NATO announced plans to create a rapid response force based in Eastern Europe that could quickly mobilize if a NATO ally gets attacked.
As the West carefully watches Russian moves in the Ukraine crisis, an Air Force general sounding a warning about Russian military maneuvers.
He says Russia is ramping up its air activity over the Pacific Ocean, even making claims a U.S. fighter jet intercepted a Russian aircraft over Guam. KCAL 9 political reporter Dave Bryan is live at USC with the story for us. Dave?
Well, Lena Sylvia, we talked to a Russian expert here just a short while ago. He works in the Center for International Studies. He says Russian President Vladimir Putin is now sort of poking the U.S., testing to see what the response will be militarily, but primarily economically. But the news, nonetheless, must be very unsettling for many Californians.
General Hawk Carlisle.
When U.S. Air Force General Herbert Hawk Carlisle spoke this week in Washington, D.C., he delivered a chilling message for Californians. The Russians are coming.
What Russia is doing in Ukraine and Crimea has a direct effect on what's happening in Asia Pacific. Some of the things we've seen is their long-range aviation and the increase in that. Those areas depicted in green. They've come with their long-range aviation out to the coast of California. They circumnavigated Guam.
General Carlisle said the number of long-range Russian airborne patrols in the Pacific region included a Tupolev Tu-95 strategic bomber, which was intercepted over Guam by a U.S. F-15 fighter jet. And some of the Russian flights, he said, extended all the way to the California coastline. Professor Ben Graham at USC's Center for International Studies says he believes Russian leader Vladimir Putin is testing the United States. But he says it's a risky strategy.
Okay, that one ended quickly, but you get the idea here. We are definitely, and again, these are newscasts just over the last week and a half or so depicting what is going on in the world. Now, I want to read something to you. This is a prophetic word, and I just feel God is kind of changing our direction a little bit tonight, and we're just going to go with the flow here because there's so many things that we can cover, but we really want to cover what he is saying. But I want to share with you, because I do believe, and of course many of you know, that we believe that the gift of prophecy is still operating in the church today, that God said in the last days, this is in Acts chapter 2, in the last days I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. And he said, and on my servants and on my handmaidens in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they will prophesy. And then he goes on to say, and then there will be blood and fire and pillars of smoke before the great and terrible day of the Lord. So we have a prophecy in the Bible telling us that there will be dreams and visions given to the true servants of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not all, it doesn't, you don't have to be a pastor or a prophet or a fivefold minister to receive a dream or a vision. But God is speaking to his people and he's given warnings. And I just want to say to my people here in America, to Americans, we are in big trouble. I'm going to share a couple of prophetic visions, a couple of prophetic words. This is something that the Lord gave me back, of course, back in December. Let's back up even before that. Back in 2011 and 2012, I have had prophetic dreams that I know are from the Lord Jesus to give, for me to give to the body of Christ, that there would be a nuclear attack on America. And I don't know the stages, and I don't know how much is going to come at one time. All I know is I saw mushroom clouds. I saw one out west. I saw one on the east coast. I do know from the Lord that the day is coming that Russia and China also, and possibly North Korea, or all three, or one of the three, and then the others jump in. I don't know all the details, but I know that the United States is going to be attacked. I also know that we're going to get some terrorist attacks from these Islamic Muslims that want to hit America. Well, last week, this was September 3rd, last week, 2014, we were having our Wednesday night prayer meeting. And in that Wednesday night prayer meeting, I had my eyes closed. I was praying for America. I was praying for God's mercy in the midst of the judgment that is coming, because I can feel it. I can feel it looming. It's just this ominous sense that something is on the horizon very, very close. It's not just because this is the week of leading us up to 9/11, the 13th anniversary of 9/11. It very well may be a serious, serious day for us again in America. But I remember, as a matter of fact, it was September the 9th of 2001, was a Sunday morning, and I was preaching a message entitled The Blessings of God, and I was just talking about how the many ways that God blesses his people and how he takes care of us sometimes when we don't know it. And in that message, at one point, I don't know what happened. I believe that just the Holy Spirit came over me, the spirit of prophecy. God gave me a prophetic word as I'm preaching this message to the church that I pastored in Montgomery, Alabama. But the word was that there will be a terrorist attack on New York City and Washington, D.C. That was on September 9th of 2001 in front of my entire congregation. And, of course, 2 days later, we watched that play out. But I guess because maybe I only had 2 days to think about what came out of my mouth, and tell you the truth, I really wasn't thinking that it would happen in 2 days. But it came to pass, and I think the Lord was just saying, hey, pay attention, listen to me, listen to my warnings. Things are going to change in your world. And so the other night, of course, we were having a prayer meeting. We know God has spoken through many different people, not just me, but people in our church, people outside of our church, different pastors. Of course, I've written about, you know, we know David Wilkerson, Pastor Randy Valamont, who's an Assembly of God pastor over in Griffin, Georgia. But different ones have been hearing God give warnings that there is a terrible, terrible, catastrophic attack coming to America. And, of course, we're not saying just one. It may be multiples. It may be one this year, one next year. It could be several cities. We don't know the details. But there's just this ominous warning from God saying that there is America is about to be hit, and we have multiple enemies everywhere, even within, and we are very vulnerable. But in this prayer meeting, as we prayed for revival and we asked God to have mercy in the midst of his judgment on America, I saw the USA from a slightly elevated place in the southern U.S., I guess from here in Alabama. But it was like the Lord took me up above in the air, and I could see the entire United States from the East Coast to the West Coast. But my vantage point was from the South. And I could see all the way, you know, I could see the Midwest states, and I could see all the way to California. And as I was looking out west, in prayer, I referred to America as her. And I saw the United States as a woman lying on her back, unconscious. Her head was in California. Her feet was all the way to the East Coast. As I looked at this, I saw this woman lying on her back, unconscious, and she was in trouble. She was about to die from heart failure. And from her head to her feet, she reached, like I said, from the West Coast to the East Coast. And then I saw two giant hands holding the paddles of a defibrillator and placing them into position on her chest to shock the woman's heart back from the edge of death. Now, this was as vivid. I mean, this was almost like watching this in HD. When the woman was hit, the United States was hit with this electric shock. It was so hard that she lifted off the ground a bit as her muscles contracted. And at this point in the vision, I knew that her heart was brought back beating again like it should be. But I also knew that she was not out of trouble completely. She was just saved from complete destruction and death. And it was then that the Lord revealed to me that it would take a great shock to bring America out of total heart failure. And I'm talking about the spiritual heart failure in America, the turning away from God Almighty the Creator, the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Christian foundation and morals and the experience of truly knowing the Creator, God Almighty, the Lord Jesus Christ, the God of the Bible, that this heart problem is destroying America, and America is about to die. And, I mean, we know, we see it economically, we see it morally, we see it on every side. We see this decay and this destruction and this demise, and everyone knows it. It's not like it's something that only us, quote, Bible thumpers, as they like to say, us Bible thumpers are saying. Everyone is beginning to recognize that the United States of America is in serious trouble on so many fronts. And the Lord showed me that it would take a great shock to bring America back. And this was in the context of praying for lost souls, for the backslidden and lukewarm church. And so the Lord confirmed to me, and he's spoken it to our church many times through different ones in our church, that we really would not see revival in America again until there was devastation, until there was another attack, until there was the sense of pride, the false sense of security, the disregard that people have for the church and for pastors now and for the gospel of Jesus Christ and the contempt for the Bible that's out there. And, you know, it seems like everybody would rather believe, you know, and sympathize with people who want to be perverts and sinners. And, the enemy has become the church, the Christians. But the Lord was showing me that there's still a lot of people in America that just they're in this middle zone. They're in this place where they're spiritually dying. They're drifting from God. They're drifting from morality. They're drifting deeper and deeper into sin and darkness. The churches don't preach the truth anymore and lack the power and lack conviction and won't confront sin and evil and wickedness. And so there's no power in most churches. It's just mega church, you know, come and look cool with us. That's pretty much the message now. Come and look cool and let's be cool and let's drink, let's smoke, let's dress like we want to. And, you know, if you got a problem with it, then you're judgmental, you know. But there's no power in this mega church American idea of things. But there's still a hunger out there. There's still a desire in many, even those sinning and rebelling and doing their own thing. There's a deep down desire for the church to be something, to be what it used to be, to be a voice of clarity to people around them. And so, but the Lord showed me that this great shock it would have to take. And what's interesting is I went out of town. I've been out of town for the last several days visiting family in Georgia. And I don't usually sit down and watch TV very much, a lot of it anyway. And I was at my father-in-law's house, and we were watching the Smithsonian Channel. And they did a whole series last night of different shows about kind of documentaries about 9/11, 2001, when America was attacked. And, of course, I remember that day very vividly. I remember where I was. I remember what I was doing. I just gotten the kids off to school. I was a full-time pastor then, of course, and I was getting ready to sit down at my computer and start studying. And of course, back then, in those days, I had Fox News is what opened up when I turned on my web browser. And it was immediately when I turned on my web browser, the smoke was rising from one of the World Trade Center towers. And I knew immediately that it was not an accident. I knew it was terrorism. I knew it was an attack. And I knew that everything was about to change. And, of course, like everyone else, I sat there glued to the TV set. I ran over and turned the TV on, and I sat there for the next 2 hours watching the buildings fall to the ground. And it was a shocking day. But as I watched those documentaries last night about 9/11, and I saw people weeping, and I saw Americans who were busy doing their own thing, going about their own lives, their own selfish plans, their own ideas, Everything for America got shaken on that day. Even children and teenagers and, you know, adults and, I mean, across the board, old and young people were shaken. They were crying. They were weeping. They were angry. They were, it was a moment of real shaking in our country. And, of course, we know that in the next days that followed, in the weeks that followed, that the churches in America filled up. I mean, people went to church like crazy. I mean, some churches experienced hundreds upon hundreds of visitors and new people coming in because there was a reality that we as a nation, this powerful country, this superpower called the United States of America, was vulnerable to seeing its financial district attacked, seeing its tallest buildings brought to the ground, seeing 3,000 people killed in a day, seeing our airlines hijacked. Of course, there's much more to that story. But the bottom line is there was a real awakening in America, but like most, I think it wasn't shocking enough because it didn't take long before, even though, you know, American flags were being sold like hotcakes and people were writing songs about, you know, American patriotism, and we went to war in Afghanistan to get the bad guys, and then we went to Iraq, and that's a whole, those are all subjects, and we've been at war now for, you know, over 10 years in these places, and we sit here and we realize, though, that return to God, that return to church for many in that time period was really short-lived, and it didn't get our attention enough, and there wasn't a revival. As a matter of fact, that was about that time was the end of the great Brownsville revival, one of the greatest revivals in American history. Whether you agree with Pentecostalism or not, the Brownsville revival was one of the longest and one of the most powerful Christian revivals, ongoing revivals in American history. But we're in trouble. We're in trouble. We've gotten worse. Alcoholism is worse. Suicide is worse. Pornography is worse. Morality is worse. Everything's worse in America. Homosexuality is more rampant and more aggressive. Everything is worse. America didn't learn its lesson from 9/11. And I tell people all the time, they say, well, you know, judgment. God, we talk about God's judgment. But God's judgment sometimes is just, he doesn't have to do anything except take his hand off where he's been protecting us and blessing us and keeping the bad guys from hitting us hard and letting us prosper and letting us go about our lives in the freedom that we enjoy. And we, so, you know, probably one of the most dangerous things God can give a people is freedom and prosperity and blessing, and because we take it, and we take it for granted, and we take it and we run with it, and we take it and we come up with doctrines of grace that tells us we can live in sin and do whatever we want to do. We come up with doctrines like the pre-tribulation rapture. It says, oh, before any bad stuff comes, you know, Christians are going to get out of here. That's really an American thing. You know, and we may talk about that. And then if that makes you mad out there, I hope it does, because you know what? Your whole little false security thing about a pre-tribulation rapture is about to come crashing to the ground, because it's not biblical, and it's easily proved that it's not biblical. It's nonsense. So, I mean, we got people right now trying to predict that the rapture is going to happen soon, and you know, in these next few months or during the blood moons and all this nonsense, and it's just going to make more people disillusioned because they're not going by the scriptures. You know, I've heard it till I'm blue in the face about the Jewish marriage tradition, the bridegroom and all that. Listen, you don't build Bible doctrines on Jewish traditions. I'm sorry. That's just, you go by the Bible, you go by the scriptures, you don't go by tradition or feast or patterns of that nature. You know, you don't go by that. You go by what's plainly written. We're going to look at that in a second. But the Lord just showed me that it was going to take a great shock. And I think that it will take a massive terrorist attack, whether it's a biological attack, whether it's a chemical attack, whether it is a nuclear attack. Now, I believe there will be a nuclear attack to some degree. And that brings me to this part of this, and this is a vision, or really a dream, that the Lord gave my brother. Now, this is in February 9th of 2013, and he had a dream of a nuclear attack on a major U.S. city. Now, I'm going to read to you exactly the way he sent it to me. He just sent it to me just a little while before we started the show tonight. But here's his dream. He said, "I had a dream that began with me trying to warn authorities. I was talking to high-ranking government officials over the telephone. I was telling them that a nuclear attack was planned for the United States. I was telling them that it was imminent and that they must do something about it. I knew the bomb or bombs were ready. In the dream, I knew who the group or nation was, but I never heard myself or the officials on the phone say the name of the group or nation. It was understood in the phone call who we were talking about. The argument on the phone was intense. We kept arguing back and forth. They did not believe me. They did not believe the people had the capability to carry out the plan." And this, I think this is a key to this. They didn't believe the people had the capability to carry out a nuclear detonation in a major U.S. city. I think that's right where we are right now. But I'll keep reading. He said, "And they didn't believe any of my warnings. They saw my warnings as absurd. They were going to do nothing." He said, "Immediately," he said, "I was taken up into the sky, and I was looking straight down on a city. I could clearly see many skyscrapers below me. Right in the center of the skyscrapers, I saw a huge explosion that began to spread in an instant. The explosion was so large and causing so much, it was a nuclear blast." Now, this is a word given to him in February of 2013. I've just shared with you that the Lord gave me similar words in 2012, similar dreams, similar revelation. And I think we are headed into something that is totally unprecedented in this arena, in this issue here. And folks, I think it's really going to take that to wake America up.
Yeah, something that just really came to my mind is, you know, my generation, I can recall back in the late 60s, early 70s, watching the evening news with my folks, and they used to report nightly. I can remember vividly Chet Huntley and David Brinkley giving the body counts from Vietnam, the wounded and the killed. And man, it was a sobering thing to hear, even as a kid. I was a very young child. That's going to happen today in the world we live in. What are people that aren't believing all this stuff, they're not even paying attention, how do you think they're going to feel when the news will be forced to, because it's going to be so obvious and apparent, give body counts, not just of a nuclear blast, but of skirmishes on our soil, of people dying. That's the type of shock that's coming, folks. And it's real. People need to wake up to it. The Bible has foretold of these days and these events. You can ignore them. You can become an ostrich and stick your head in the sand. You can run from God and mortality. But reality is fixing to hit the United States of America square between the eyes. And that's why we do these broadcasts. That's why a lot of people that have been called by God to teach and preach this message are doing so. It's not a message of doom and gloom. It's a message of hope and confirmation of the truth of the Word of God. But it's also a message of preparedness. And it's almost to the point, and I've heard some other anointed people say this recently, and it's harsh, but I have to agree with them almost wholeheartedly, that how much more do we have to tell you? How much more do we have to try to wake you up, to shake you up, to get your attention. What's it going to take? Unfortunately, what it's going to take is going to be a true shock and awe on the soil of America. So please, folks, take heed. Wake up. Take this to heart. Take this to your family. It's vital.
You know, too, our government doesn't think ISIS is anything but, what do they call them, B-team or something like that. And here we are, this dream that Dean's brother had says they didn't believe they had the capabilities to take on, to make this destruction happen in the United States. And in reality, I mean, we've given them everything they need in Iraq, when they took over Iraq, they have our military equipment, our rockets, our whatever. And then Pakistan's about to fall. You know, we got nuclear weapons there. I mean, they have the capabilities, or they are acquiring them at a quick rate.
You know, when you create a Frankenstein and the monster turns on you, it's a pretty scary scene. And there's a lot of nations, countries, and world leaders who have, let's be honest, they funded some of these factions. Now all of a sudden the factions have decided to turn on them. So, something to think about, folks.
Yeah, we are. You know, I think of what Paul said, the Apostle Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 3 when he was talking about the last days, and he said, in the last days, perilous times shall come. Dangerous times shall come. Folks, we are living in them. Now, I want to reiterate that I wish we didn't have to give these type of prophetic warnings to the church, to America. I wish these things weren't going to happen. I have children, some that are older, some in high school, some out of college. I have a little one. I don't want to see these things happen, but I don't want to be ignorant or stick my head in the sand, which is called being willfully ignorant. I don't want to try to close my eyes, because the reality is, and I believe God was speaking this to me in the vision he gave me last week of the woman at the United States having to be shocked, is that God is going to allow this to try to help us wake up and to try to bring us back to the truth of the Word of God, repentance, which means turning away from sin, turning away from evil and wickedness and lust and perversion and hatred and racism and bitterness and unforgiveness and adultery and fornication, premarital sex, all these sins that we just think we can indulge. And God's saying, I'm going to get your attention. I'm going to get my church's attention. I'm going to get America's attention. I'm going to get your attention, because, you know, the verse that kept coming to me that night of September 3rd was the scripture in Isaiah 26 in verse 9, when he said, when the judgments of the Lord are in the earth, the people of earth will learn righteousness. God has to allow judgments to come, destruction to come, because we don't wake up. We won't wake up when things are going good. We tend to drift away. And he wants us to wake up. And listen, Christians, there's a lot of people out there in America. We don't know where this is going to hit exactly, what cities it's going to hit first. We don't know how bad and where. But I can tell you this right now, there are a lot of people that aren't going to have another chance to get saved. There's a lot of people, they're not going to hear another gospel message or a radio program or a TV program or get to go to church next Sunday. You know, there's a lot of people that are going to die when these attacks take place. I mean, that's one thing. When I was watching the documentaries on the Smithsonian Channel last night, One of the things that just struck me as I watched it, the announcer or the narrator said very plainly, it was a day like every other day in New York City. People were going to work, running their kids to school, grabbing breakfast, trying to get to work on time. You know, there were a few people that were late that morning that being late saved their lives. But they went to think about the 3,000 people that went to work in the various companies in the World Trade Center that morning of September 11th, 2001. They went to work thinking, I'm going to work, I'm going to go to lunch, I'm going to get home, I'm going to get off, I'm going to go home, be with the kids or be with my husband or my wife. And then boom, they didn't get another chance. They didn't get a chance to, many of them didn't get a chance to say goodbye. They didn't get a chance to pray another prayer. They didn't get a chance to say, Jesus, have mercy on me, a sinner, forgive me. Forgive me for walking away. Forgive me for living in sin. Forgive me for being rebellious. Forgive me for my sins and be my Lord and Savior. They didn't have another chance. So, folks, we have a mission. We have a mission. If you're listening to me tonight, listen, you have a mission to begin to preach the gospel and warn people and lead people, because we are in a pressing, pressing time. But listen, we're going to take a break. You're listening to Prophecy Quake. I'm your host, Pastor Dean Odle. I want you to stay with us. We're going to delve into this even deeper tonight. But listen, you have a mission. Some of you have been silent long enough. Some of you have feared what people think about you. You feared to talk about end times, feared that people call you a nut or a conspiracy theorist or a doomsday preacher or whatever. But listen to me. When these things hit and when these Bible prophecies come to pass and when these attacks on America come to pass, they will remember, if they survive it, they will remember who told them. They will remember the Christians who warned them. They will remember those who said, it's time. America's time is almost over. Judgment is at the doors. We are going to be brought to our knees. We are going to be shaken. Everything that can be shaken is going to be shaken in America. And hopefully when the smoke clears, you'll still be standing and have a chance, an opportunity to return to God and let Him wash your sins away and for you to enter back into that relationship and that walk of obedience, that walk of righteousness, that walk of intimacy with the Lord who created you, God Almighty, the Lord Jesus Christ who died on that cross for our sins and rose from the dead the third day, who is coming back again, who is trying to get our attention that it's almost over with. And that He's coming back and that many will not make it to that day because there's going to be so much death and destruction. And you've got to make sure that you're ready and you've got to, if you are listening to me tonight and you're ready, it's time to help somebody else get ready. So I want to dedicate this right now. We're going to take this break with this song. This is an old Third Day song from 1999 and it's called Long Time Coming. It's about our mission to share the gospel, the warning that Jesus is coming. It's time to get right with God. You're listening to Prophecy Quake. I'm your host, Pastor Dean Odle. Stay with us. We'll be back in just a minute.
I've been taking it all for granted. Everything that I have been given. Now it is a day to start my mission. It's been a long time coming. There are many searching for answers. Tell me, who am I to keep it to myself? I've grown weary of my own fears. Yeah, it's been a long time coming. Yeah.
If you're not saved or you're not right with God and you're listening to me this morning, you can get saved and get right with God. All you have to do is mean business. It's not a feeling you're looking for. But if you mean business and you're ready to repent, truly turn away from your sins and your idols and your lust, and truly accept Jesus and follow Jesus and become a disciple of Jesus, and you're going to do it with all your heart, if you do that, you will get the feeling. You will be touched by the presence of God. You will be born again. You will be forgiven of your sin. That darkness will lift off of you. That depression will lift off of you. You will know the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, if you become a disciple. See, this is what we haven't taught. We've taught people just believe. But Jesus said, take up your cross and follow me. There's a difference. Believing is just the first step. The next step you've got to take is becoming a disciple of Jesus. Taking up your cross, following Him, obeying His Word, seeking Him in prayer, knowing Him intimately. You can't love too much. Some of you in here, listen to me. When will you finally give up your sin, your lust, your plans, your ways, and follow Jesus? When will you do it? I pray it's not too late. I pray you don't wait till it's too late. Father, we thank you. Let's sing this song.
We're back again. You're listening to Prophecy Quake. I'm your host, Pastor Dean Odell, along with my co-host, Pastor Billy Painter and Pastor Kevin Wilkinson. And of course, I hope you have been blessed and learned something this evening. I want to shift gears just a little bit on this subject because this is an important issue, and I felt like I really didn't plan in touching on this tonight at all. But I feel like we need to. And this will be a good opportunity tonight. If you have questions or comments or even a disagreement, you're welcome to call in 347-884-8566, 347-884-8566. Because as we talk about all this, as we talk about the beginning of sorrows, as we talk about the wars and rumors of wars, as we talk about we're headed into the birth pangs that Jesus warned of, the travail coming upon the world to lead us into the great tribulation, of course, there are many out there, because they have been taught a pre-tribulation rapture doctrine, they're just believing that, hey, you know what? Before this gets too bad, before the Antichrist shows up, before the mark of the beast and the chip or whatever it is, the electronic tattoo or whatever becomes that, or who, you know, before the United States falls apart, before the world government comes to power, before we see, you know, nuclear detonations, a nuclear war across the world, or, you know, before we see any more famine or pestilence, before it gets any worse, yeah, we're in the beginning of it now, but we're getting out of here. We're leaving. We're going to be raptured out. Jesus is going to descend in the clouds, and he's going to take the Christians out of here. The dead in Christ will rise first, then we which are alive, and we get out of here before the really bad stuff is going to happen. Folks, let me just say that that doctrine is, not only is it fleshly, not only is it new in church history, it didn't come about until the 1800s, it's just simply not biblical. It's not scriptural. It doesn't make sense. And it's going to do damage to a lot of people when these things begin to really, really snowball. Because, hear me, folks, I know that you don't want to hear this. But in the world, Jesus said this anyway in John 17. Didn't he say this? In the world you will have tribulation. But be of good cheer, right? For I have overcome the world. So he told us, look, I'm going to tell you, in the world it's going to be tough. You're going to be attacked. You're going to have problems. But be of good cheer. In the same chapter, he said, when he was praying to the Father, he said, I pray not that you take them out of the world. Isn't that interesting? Why? Because Jesus wants us to be a light. He wants us to be a witness. He wants us to preach the Word of God. And that's true. You know, Pastor Billy just slid me a note here, and he said, are people going to believe John Darby, or are we going to believe Jesus Christ? And that's a real simple question. Are we going to believe the doctrines of John Darby from the 1800s, or are we going to believe what the Bible says? There's a whole lot of pastors that are going to be embarrassed. They're going to be discredited. They're going to be forsaken by a lot of their sheep, by a lot of their people in their churches, because when it starts getting rough, when they see the persecution coming down, when they see the world government take form, when they see the demands to take the mark of the beast, the implant that's going to control all buying and selling, when all of this comes down, and it comes down to laying down your life, well, first it's going to come down to, are you willing to stand up for Jesus when you can't feed your family? I'm just going to tell you, most Christians in America get upset when their microwave dinner doesn't cook fast enough. And we're talking about real persecution, having to trust God for your provision, having to trust God to protect you and to deliver you, and maybe even having to trust God to see you through some horrific circumstances that are coming. And I just personally believe the pre-tribulation rapture doctrine is not preparing anybody in America for that. And I'm sorry. I've got preachers, pastors, friends even, that I've had over the years, that they adhere to this thing, and if you dare challenge them, they'll just forsake you. They'll just write you off, shun you, you know, because it's such a holy grail to them. But I've got news for them. A lot of them are about to get extremely embarrassed. Because let's just look at something. I've asked this question to many pastors, Assembly of God pastors, Baptist pastors, different ones who adhere to this pre-tribulation rapture doctrine. And don't get me wrong, we believe that there will be a rapture because the Bible says it. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, it says, at the coming of the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first, and then we which are alive and remain will be caught up together with them to meet the Lord in the air, and so will we ever be with the Lord. Now, of course, the term rapture is not used in the Bible. It is a resurrection is the term that should be used, because when the dead in Christ are resurrected, their bodies, that's a resurrection. It's not a rapture. I just love how we make up words, right? But when this resurrection happens, both the dead in Christ who have been resurrected and those still living who get their mortal bodies get shifted and changed into immortal bodies, we'll get caught up to be with the Lord. So we have a resurrection and a catching up that takes place. So if you want to call it a rapture, just understand that it's a resurrection and a catching up to be with the Lord. So the Lord is going to do that. That's what the Bible says. But the question within the body of Christ, and the debate has been for many, many decades, is when is that going to happen in the context of the last days, what we know to be the last 7 years. You will have the beginning of sorrows, and then you'll have the last 7 years. Here is something that you need to look at. Okay, we're going to go to Revelation chapter 20, and I'm going to pose this question to you. And if you are a pre-trib rapture believer, you need to pay close attention here, because your whole belief system is about to be shattered. If you want to debate this or question, you know, go to your pastor and say, what about this? Ask them this question and see if they can give you an answer. But there's first some things that you have to understand. First of all, these are the basics of end time Bible prophecy. Number one, the book of Daniel shows us that there will be a 70th week, which is a last 7 years. We are told that the Antichrist will sign a peace treaty with Israel during that time period that will be for 7 years. We are shown in the book of Daniel, this is Daniel chapter 9, it says that that peace treaty will be broken in the middle of that 7 year period. And then we know from Daniel chapter 8 and chapter 11 that the abomination of desolation is when this Antichrist stops the sacrifices in the rebuilt Jewish temple. We know from 2 Thessalonians that he enters in and declares himself to be God, to be in charge of the temple on the Temple Mount. And this is what Jesus called and Daniel called. Jesus called it Matthew 24. Daniel called it in Daniel chapter 11, the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet. That's what Jesus called it, standing in the holy place. Paul said this man of sin, the son of perdition, the Antichrist, will enter into the temple of God and declare himself to be God. We know exactly when he does this. It's in the middle of the last 7 years. We also know from the book of Revelation that it is at the midpoint of that 7 year period, called the tribulation by some, called the great tribulation by others, called the 70th week of Daniel, whatever you want to call it. In the middle of that, when there's 3.5 years left, we know that the Antichrist and the false prophet assisting him, which I believe will be whoever the last pope is at that time, but that Antichrist and that false prophet will issue the mark. It will be mandatory worldwide. You will have to take something implanted that's engraved and implanted in your hand or your forehead that will cause you to be able to buy and sell and interact with others. It will also be some type of identification, tracking, all those things. The only thing that can do that now is it's going to be some form of a computer microchip. It's going to have to be. But it's also going to come along with a surrender of your will, and it's going to come along with a pledge of allegiance to the new world order, to the new world government, and to the leader of that, which will be the Antichrist. They won't call him that. He'll be called the world spiritual teacher or the world leader or whatever, but they won't call him the Antichrist, but he will be the Antichrist. So we know that that's going to happen, right, at the midpoint. The book of Revelation chapter 13 spells it out. It says he issues this mark and he has 42 months to continue. So we know when it is. Okay? It's not complicated. So here we've got an issue. We have pastors. We have evangelists. We have entire denominations. We have Bible schools saying that all Christians will be taken out of here. If you're born again and you're a Christian and you're walking with the Lord, you will be taken out of here before the Antichrist comes. You will be taken in this resurrection that they call a rapture, this dramatic event in the end times. You'll be taken out of here and you won't have to face the Antichrist or that persecution or that martyrdom or that time of suffering or deprivation or not being able to buy and sell. You won't face any of that. Now, this is why this is so dangerous. Also, we know the Bible says in Revelation 14 that if any man or woman takes this mark, it says that they will be tormented with fire and brimstone in hell forever and ever. There is no forgiveness if you take this mark. So we're talking about a critical salvation issue. Something that will either preserve your life and give you eternal life in heaven because you stand for your faith in Jesus and refuse to submit to this Antichrist system, you refuse to pledge allegiance, you refuse, even under economic pressure, even under persecution pressure, even under the pressure of death, you refuse and you stand for the Lord, you're faithful to the end. That enters you into heaven. You are going to live forever with Jesus. But those who take that mark, it says, will be damned. They will suffer eternal torment and punishment, and the smoke of that torment and punishment will be eternal forever and ever and ever. That's what Revelation, just read, I don't have time to read the whole Bible for you on our radio show. But you read, when we get off, you read Revelation 13 and you read Revelation 14 tonight, if you don't believe what I'm saying. But we're going to skip ahead. Having said that, having laid this foundation, right, we have a seven-year period leading up to the second coming of Jesus Christ. We have the Antichrist coming and the Mark of the Beast coming and the Great Persecution and the world government coming and the world and the war of Gog and Magog, the sixth trumpet war, and then we'll have Armageddon at the end of that, and we'll have more famine and more plagues and more destruction. We're going to have all these things. Earthquakes are going to be greater. We know there's earthquakes coming that are going to move mountains and move islands out of their places. What I'm saying is there's tremendous things coming. Now, here's what Revelation 20 says at the end. Revelation 19 is the second coming of Jesus, and then it talks about the aftermath of what happens at the judgment seat at the end of that last 7 years. Jesus Christ, the one who died on the cross and rose again from the dead, that same Jesus will split the eastern skies. It said every eye will see him. The tribes of the earth will mourn. The captains and the rich men will mourn. They will say, hide us from the face and the wrath of the Lamb. They'll want to hide from him and run from him. But Jesus is coming. The Antichrist will have his armies gathered at Armageddon in the valley of Megiddo in Israel to try to fight Jesus as he returns. Jesus will destroy them with the brightness of his coming. The sword of the Spirit will come out of his mouth. And Jesus will destroy all those who took the mark of the beast and all those who are there to fight against him, to try to stop him, the armies of the Antichrist. Now, this is what the Bible spells out in the book of Revelation. We have it in Revelation 19. As the smoke clears and Jesus begins to set up his kingdom, here's what we read in Revelation 20. We're going to start at verse 1. I hope you are following along with me because this is important. He says in Revelation 20 and verse 1, and I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years, and cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that he must be loosed a little season. And I saw thrones, and they that sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them, and I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus, and for the word of God, which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead lived not again until 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. And when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison, and he shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. And they went up of the breadth of the earth and compassed or surrounded the camp of the saints about in the beloved city. And fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast, the Antichrist, and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away, and there was found no more place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which are written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. So here we have very clearly in the end times context, in the book of Revelation, the inspired, infallible Word of God, the vision and the word of prophecy from the Apostle John that God gave him, clearly says there are two resurrections. One takes place at the second coming of Jesus. The other one takes place 1,000 years later after the millennial reign of Jesus Christ on the earth. And then the wicked will rebel again. People will turn against God. Satan will be loosed at the end of that 1,000 years. There will be another rebellion. God will instantly defeat it and destroy it. And there's the second resurrection. The sea, the dead in the sea, the dead in hell, the dead across the world will be called up to the throne of God to be judged according to their works. And all of those are not found written in the book of life. This is the judgment of the wicked dead. This is the second resurrection. This is also the second death. They will be judged according to their works, and the severity of their punishments in hell for eternity will be meted out at that point. Now, some will be worse than others. Now, let's be clear here. Here's what we want to focus in on. We go back up in Revelation 20 to verse 4, and he said, I saw thrones, and they that sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus, for the word of God, which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. And then he says in verse 5, this is the first resurrection. Now here is the question to anyone who holds to a pre-tribulation rapture doctrine. How in the world do you have people who die resisting the Antichrist and the mark of the beast that does not take place until the middle of the 7 years? How do you have people who die and are beheaded because they will not take the mark of the beast? How do you have them in the first resurrection if you're saying there's a resurrection for Christians before that? I'm sorry, folks. There's not a rapture, a resurrection of Christians before the Antichrist shows up. That is a myth. It is a lie. It is a deception. It is demonically inspired to cause the church to be asleep in the last days. And you know what? A lot of people say, well, it doesn't matter. Just be ready. Listen, for some strong Christians who are really strong in their faith and strong in the Word and may believe the pre-tribulation rapture doctrine, they may be able to adapt when it all comes crumbling down on them, when the reality comes that, no, we're not getting out of here beforehand. But I'm thinking about the weak Christians. I'm thinking about the ones already struggling with aspects of their faith, with doubts, with fears, with questions that aren't getting answered by their pastors and their leaders. And then we have those that are on the fringes of Christianity who aren't saved. They're listening to us. They're listening to the gospel. They're listening to the Word of God. They're wanting to know something. And they're on the fringes. They go, should I believe this pastor? Should I believe this church? Should I believe what they're preaching? And then, what? When it doesn't happen, what do you think they're going to do? The ones on the edge, they go, you know, they preached this, that Christians were going to get out of here before any of this stuff, before the Antichrist, before the mark of the beast, before the great persecution. They preached this, but now it's not happening. And then what about the Christians who are going to see the chip, the mark, come? Whether it be the RFID chip in some form or the electronic tattoo that's still going to have a computer microchip in. Remember, it's got to be able to control buying and selling worldwide for every person. So it's going to be some kind of computer chip that can store information like bank account numbers and the amount of money or credits that you might have. What are you going to do? Many people are going to think it's not the mark of the beast because we're supposed to be raptured before that. Yeah. And then we've got John MacArthur, exactly. We've got one of the most well-known pastors in America and on TV, John MacArthur, and a guy with him, another well-known pastor, Jimmy DeYoung, saying that, oh yeah, and if Christians do take the mark, they'll still be saved and go to heaven, even though the Bible says the complete opposite of that. So we have a massive deception coming that the devil's going to try to use to turn many away from the church, to turn many away from their faith in Jesus, and to get many deceived into taking the mark of the beast by different means. This is a salvation issue. We do have some phone calls. Now, I'm going to stop right there. We may cover this again, but we're going to take some phone calls. We do have a few callers, and we have someone here. They may want to talk. You're on Prophecy Quake? Yes.
Hello. How are you, Pastor Dinoro?
I'm good. How are you doing tonight?
Great, great. It's me, John Ormenai, and yes, I'm listening to your message for tonight. And I actually do not have any questions because, you know, everything that you said was, you know, on point. And but I'm here to share my testimony if, you know, have a little time for me.
Okay, well, go ahead.
I was born and raised into a family from a secular Muslim in Albania. And, you know, my mom actually was very, you know, influenced from Islam. She began actually when I was like 7, 8 years old. And I got influence from her on how she was praying and stuff like that. Now, she wasn't praying 5 times a day, but, you know, I learned, like, how to pray, you know, how she was praying. So I was influenced from her, and then, but I didn't read the Quran fully because I didn't understand, you know, the Quran. I knew about Muhammad, actually. I knew how a better of a prophet he was. Well, you got it much deeper into that because you read the hadiths more than I did, because I wasn't into the hadiths that much. But, you know, I did read about Muhammad and how a better of a prophet, of a war maker he was. So I came in this country in 2006 when I was 17 years old. And a friend of mine brought me to City Church of Philadelphia. By the way, I live in Philly. So, and he brought me to a youth group. And I met with a pastor named Brian. And he actually was preaching about Jesus. And I was preaching to him about Muhammad. And, you know, I used to have, like, debates with him. Hello?
Yes, we're here.
Yeah. I actually had debates with him and stuff. So, but as he was preaching, you know, of course, you know, I couldn't agree with him at that time. There came a time that this pastor left City Church of Philadelphia for personal reasons, and another pastor came. His name is Vincent Vitola, and he was leading the youth group. Now, this pastor was very inspiring to me. You know, he was preaching the gospel to me, like, very simply on how to be in the light and how the darkness, you know, how bad is the darkness and how great is the light and stuff like that. And that made me seek the Lord, actually. Now, I went into my room, and I kept on asking Jesus to show himself to me. And I saw the Holy Spirit. I saw the Holy Spirit as a bright light that was shining and disappearing, and you know, I saw it many times, and you know, I felt scared because of that, and I was somehow convinced. Now, one night when I still was going to the youth group every Friday, I was with Vincent, and I went, like, upstairs to the sanctuary, and he laid hands on me and prayed. And when he laid hands on me, I was not saved. I felt the presence of God, and I heard, you know, angels singing, worshiping to the Lord. And I heard them for 15 minutes. It was a sound, actually. It was a music like nothing like here. You know, I had peace with it. It was so beautiful. You know, I had pleasure listening to it. I heard it for 15 minutes. And from that, I was convinced that, you know, Jesus exists, that Jesus, you know, proved it to me that he is God. So on a Sunday morning, I went to, you know, to City Church of Philadelphia again, you know, and Pastor Vincent actually was preaching about repentance, a message that was for me, a message of salvation for me and also for others as well. After the message, I got on my knees and I cried out and I said, Lord, save me. And from that, I felt the power of God coming upon me. And I felt changed. And, you know, it was indescribable. So, yeah.
Amen.
That was, you know, the biggest testimony. I had other testimonies. I mean, I had other experiences with God, but this is my testimony, actually. So, this, you know.
And, you know,
I
here's...
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah. I mean...
Well, what I was going to say, is that, you know, here's the powerful thing. We've been talking about this tonight, really all night long, the importance of being born again through faith in Jesus, coming to know him personally, intimately, before it's too late. You know, many people, you know, we can talk about the end time events, we can talk about the rapture, we can talk about the resurrection, the coming Antichrist, all those things. But the bottom line is that Jesus said you must be born again through
yes.
faith in him, not Muhammad, not Buddha, not Krishna,
yes.
not any other way.
Yes.
And so that's another reason I wanted you to share your testimony, brother. Here, and it just for everyone out there, this Brother John here in Philly, I hope you were understanding that he grew up a Muslim in Albania. I'm correct about Albania, right?
Yes.
And just a powerful story of how the gospel and it, and listen, not a dead gospel, not a gospel where it's just words or theology or a creed, but the gospel of Jesus Christ, the truth, the true God, has power, presence. He will
yes.
reveal himself to you if you want to know him. If you're hungry and you're open to the truth and you will listen, and you will understand that he just wants you to turn loose of your ways and your sins and your wickedness and believe in him. The beautiful story is it doesn't matter if you're a Muslim or you're a Buddhist or you've been a murderer or you've been an adulterer or you've been a horrible, horrible individual. The true God, Jesus Christ of Nazareth, died on a cross for your sins. He rose from the dead to prove in his resurrection and eternal life that he is the true God. Muhammad didn't do that. Buddha didn't do that. Krishna didn't do that. None of the other gods out there that are claimed by man did that. There's only one God that can change this Muslim young man who would argue with pastors and Christians. He had to encounter the living Jesus Christ. Listen, I want to say this. I don't ever mind, really, if Prophecy Quake, our show, is interrupted by this simple truth, then you must be born again. You
yes.
must come to Jesus Christ to be saved, and that Jesus loves Muslims. I know we preach pretty hard here about the evil life and the evil messages of Muhammad, as we do any evil. Doesn't matter whether it's communist evil or it's Islamic evil. Evil is evil. But the
yes.
beautiful truth of the God of creation is that he wants everyone to be saved. He wants everyone. He loves everyone and wants everyone to come to know his son, Jesus Christ, the Savior, the Messiah, in a real and living way, just like you did, John.
Yes.
That's what God wants, and he'll forgive anybody, and he'll accept anybody, and he'll wash their sins away. He'll make them clean. He will give them his spirit, and he will give them the hope of eternal life in heaven, the true hope. They don't have to go out. Listen, isn't it awesome, brother, that we don't have to go out and blow ourselves up in a restaurant full of women and children to be assured that we have a place in paradise? Isn't it amazing that we don't have to pray five times a day if we're not perfect? Isn't it amazing that we don't have to worry about that, that we can know our God, that he is loving and patient and forgiving? I mean, tell me, how is that? I mean, I know it's got to be just a completely different world from the Muslim experience you had.
Yes.
Life is good.
It was, you know, coming to Christianity was, you know, amazing to me. And, you know, the Lord changed me, my perspectives. The Lord changed me, you know, how to look at people. You know, I was not the type of person that I hated that much. You know, I'm still a very, very friendly person. But, you know, the Lord actually gave me his eyes to look at Jewish people just as he does.
Amen.
You know, I remember when I was in college, actually, and I'm going to share this with you. I remember when I was in college, when I was a Muslim, a Jewish woman failed me because of my previous belief. And because of her, I started hating the Jewish people. But when I came to Christ, my whole, you know, thoughts, you know, everything changed, you know, like, I started seeing Jewish people like he does, you know. I do support them, actually. I support them even, you know, spiritually. I am for them. But, you know, and I want them to get saved. I'm talking about those who are not saved. I collaborated with a Jewish man who came to Christ many years ago. I participated on outreaches, evangelism. So, yeah, my calling is to preach the gospel to the Muslims. My calling is to show them who really Jesus is. And God really trained me how to do this. You know, he trained me and he gave me an idea about Albania, a revival idea about Albania. And I'm actually praying so that God can send me there in the future so that I can disciple, you know, the Albanians. I can bring Albanians, you know, to the church that me and my friends are going to establish in the future.
Amen.
And what I can do is this. I will bring my childhood friends, and they are secular Muslims just like I was. And I will tell them my experience with Jesus. And they will agree with me, not because, you know, I'm their friend, but they are going to believe the words that God is going to put them in my mouth.
Amen.
And they are going to get saved, and they will be discipled by me in the future, and they're going to have the same calling. So they will bring their friends. Their friends will bring their other friends, and together we will make a team.
Amen,
you know,
brother.
You know, I know that there's going to be persecutions, and I'm not afraid of that. I'm not afraid of anybody. You know, if there's anybody that wants to tell me to either deny Christ or die, I'd rather die. You know.
Amen.
I will stand for my faith. You know, I will stand for the word of God. So, you know, that's the calling that God gave me. So here is my message for the Muslims. Enter through that door, because I have found the Messiah, and I sought him with all my heart, and he revealed himself to me. Enter through that door and be saved, because he is the only one who can save you. He is the true God.
Amen.
He is the true God, and everybody will bow down. Everybody will bow down to me, says the Lord. Every nation, every tongue, every nation, every race, repent and believe,
Amen.
And that I am God, says the Lord.
Amen, brother.
This is the message that the Lord has spoken right now. And the Lord loves the Muslims. He loves
does.
Them. He is bowing down with his hands. And he is crying. He is crying because he wants the Muslims. He is crying because he wants them to be sons and daughters. Because he wants them. Just like he wanted me, he wants them also. Because
Amen.
He has an inheritance that he wants to share with all of us. His
yes.
kingdom. He wants to give us the kingdom. He wants us to be part of the kingdom. That's a privilege.
Amen.
Because let me tell you, that's why we have no place in this world. We don't belong in this world because God wants us to give us the riches afterlife.
Amen.
He wants us to give us gold, diamonds, and everything.
Amen. He's going to make
you know?
The streets. The streets
yes.
are made of it.
The streets will be like gold, and they're going to be gold for us. It's for his glory, but it's going to be for us because we have a house there. We have a house there. We have a dwelling place. We have a castle to live eternally with him.
Amen.
It's for us. God wanted, and I'm going to share this, all he wants is to have fellowship with us. All he
Amen.
Wants is a relationship. He doesn't want religion.
Amen, brother.
He never wanted religion.
Exactly.
He wants relationship. Relationship.
Exactly.
Father, as a father, as a brother, as a husband, as a friend. He wants us to be all to us.
Amen, brother.
Yes.
Well, brother, I want to tell you, I appreciate you sharing your testimony. First time ever that we've had a Muslim who is now a born-again Christian following Jesus with all their heart share their testimony. So see, folks, listen to me. I hope you hear the life, the truth, the power, the reality of a relationship, the presence of God that it took to bring our brother John here from being a Muslim to knowing Jesus as his Savior, to knowing the true God, the life. It's awesome. Brother, we appreciate you sharing your testimony tonight. We're almost out of time, so I'm going to let you go, but
yes.
we're going to have you back again. You
I thank
go
God,
for
and
it.
I also thank you for you know letting me share my testimony and letting me share the message, what God wanted
hey.
Me to speak out.
It's awesome, brother.
So,
you be blessed and keep pressing forward to share your testimony with every Muslim you can, and we will be praying for you and your heart to go back to Albania and be a light and be an example of what it means to walk in love and to be a true Christian.
Thank you.
But we appreciate you sharing that. Amen.
Amen. Thank you very much, Pastor Dean. We will
You're
get
welcome,
in touch
sir.
Again.
God bless.
Have a blessed
Bye-bye.
Night. Bye.
You too. Well, folks, you heard it for yourself right there. And that's what we're talking about. This whole thing, the reason we do this program, the reason we preach the word, the reason that we bring out truth, the reason we contend for the faith, the reason we try to get people to listen to what God is saying is because we're hoping that something said, something you hear, something that you experience will wake you up and to let you know that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, and no one will go to heaven. No one will be resurrected in that day and have eternal life in that first resurrection unless they have been born again and encountered the presence of Almighty God and had their sins washed away by the blood Jesus shed on the cross and by faith in his resurrection from the dead, that he is the one true Messiah, God in the flesh, the way, the truth, and the life. Let me tell you, I wouldn't be here today. Billy wouldn't be here today. Kevin wouldn't be here today if it was just some religious theology or some creed. We're not here to just try to convince you of a belief system. We're here hoping, praying, asking that God will show himself to you. And those of you out there who are already born-again Christians, listen to that. Share these truths. Share the truth. Step out. Be bold. Have that desire in your heart like John does to see people around you truly born again, truly ready to face, whether it be life and sharing the gospel and sharing Jesus with other people, or it is to face persecution and to face death. Be a voice. Be a witness. Be alive with the gospel, not just sitting in your house or sitting in a church and doing nothing and saying nothing. The time has come to make waves out there. We need to, you know, that's what I tell people all the time. They go, well, you're just too bold. You're just too outspoken, or you're just too blunt. And I tell people all the time, we're out of time. We don't have time to goof around. We don't have time to beat around the bush anymore. We're out of time. And having said that, we're out of time for this program tonight. You're listening to Prophecy Quake. We hope you'll be with us again next week, same time. God bless.
You've been listening to Prophecy Quake with Pastor Dean Odle. Be sure to join us next week, same time. And to further connect with us, go to deanodle.org or Facebook, Dean Odle Ministries.